How many of you after today would like for us to also minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit after hearing what we've been talking about it? All right, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. I was kind of expecting that. So Father, we just thank you. We bless you, Father. We just thank you for your presence, that your Spirit is with us, that you never leave us or forsake us, that you're always with us. And Father, we know that whatever we face, you're always there, so we know we're there to triumph. So Father, we give you all praise and glory, and we just say, just be glorified tonight. In everything that takes place and everything that's said, we just want you to be glorified. And through the works that are done here tonight, we just give those to you, that they glorify you. So Father, we bless you, and we say, take pleasure in tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to do a couple of things. First off, I want to take you to John chapter 15. We're getting there. We're getting there. John 15. When the Apostle Paul wrote his letter, one of his letters to Timothy, he said, in my absence, give heed to reading the Scripture. Read the Scripture. We forget that a lot of times. And one of the things that I've seen, one of the things that blesses me most, especially in my own personal time, is just taking the Scriptures out and just reading it out loud. Because there's a blessing in just hearing it. It's life and it's Word and it's Spirit, you know, feeding you, you might say. And so many times we don't in church. And I'm going to read a little bit tonight, but it's not about just reading the Scripture. But in church, many times we just don't just hear the Scripture. We hear commentary on the Scripture. We hear different teachings and topical and things. But sometimes it's good just to maybe even just close your eyes and just listen to the words. Really take it in. This is Jesus speaking to you. Right? He's not talking to so-and-so and this person and that. And, you know, well, I really wish they were here because they really needed to hear this tonight. No, you're here. You hear it. All right? So he starts in John 15. And he says, let me alter that a bit. There we go. Now, in John 15, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. And my Father is a husbandman. He's the gardener. He's the farmer, we might say. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You hear that? Now you are clean through the word that I've spoken to you. They had the washing of the water of the word. They heard that, and their minds were clean, and all these things, and they were clean by the word. He says, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Now, that's what we've been talking about all this week. Abiding in him. Remaining in him. You in him and he in you. You abide in him, he abides in you. His words abide in you, and you just live in this life together. He says, I want to finish reading that. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You hear that? Now, fruit grows. And if you're connected to the vine, the fruit grows. You don't have to make it grow. It grows. As a matter of fact, if you're connected to the vine, you can't even hide it. It will grow. You can't even stop it. As long as you're connected to the vine. He says, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You hear that? All you have to do is abide. Jesus said, man, I haven't come to do these different things. He said, but I leave you my peace. He didn't say you have to do all this stuff to get this. He just said, abide in me. If you abide in me, just stay there. Don't move out. Just get in, stay in. Abide in him. Put your mind on him. So many times people come to me and say, you know, I believe the word, and the word says I'm healed, and I believe I'm healed, but you know, and then they go off on this thing, and you know, I've been studying the word, and I've been believing the word, and I'm confessing the word, and I believe it, but I just, and the whole time, I just, you know, and you can tell they're just really nervous, and honestly just scared, and I get it, you know. If someone gives you some type of declaration, or a doctor's report, or some type of, sometimes it sounds like a death sentence, I get it. There's that thing that tries to jump on you instantly just to give you fear and lock you up and make you paralyzed with fear. But these, it's sad because the one thing that Jesus said we ought to have is peace. Yes, that's one thing. He said, I give you, you know, if you have me, you have life. But he said, my peace I leave you. Not the peace that the world has. My peace. And then he said, you know, don't fear. I've already overcome the world. Don't worry about these things. It's just so amazing because here he says one thing that he says he leaves us, which is peace. And then the one thing you don't see among Christians mostly is peace. You see them struggling and running everywhere and trying to get this to happen and make that happen. And they're, you know, trying to force. And all he says to do is abide. You just got to abide. You know, just... You know, what I really want to tell people is just hang on a second. Just relax for a minute. He said his yoke wasn't burdensome. We're to be yoked with him. And that his burden is light. And yet Christians always seem to have this heavy burden. And he said, no, I didn't bring you that. I brought you peace. And I want you to have this peace. And then I talk to Christians. And they talk about these things. And they got all the right sayings. But you can tell while they're talking to you. They're just wringing their hands and they're nervous. And I said, well, listen. You know, first off, let's quit focusing on the problem for a second. I know it. I can't tell you to forget about it because you're not going to forget about it. It's right there in your face. So I don't expect you to forget about it. But for a minute, let's shift our focus and let's focus on Christ. Because he told us, he said, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon me. So when they come to me, they say, oh yeah, I'm meditating the word, I believe the word, my mind is on Christ, I'm keeping my mind on the word, and I'm like, and the whole time, I'm confessing, and I'm believing, and I believe the word of God, and I'm like, no. You know, by his stripes I'm healed, I know I'm healed, I believe by his stripes I'm healed. And I'm like, okay, I get it, you're saying all the right stuff. But the fact is, your mind hadn't been on him. Oh yeah, I keep my mind on him all the time. No, because I've either got to believe you or the Word of God. And the Word of God says that if you keep your mind on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. So if you're not in perfect peace, your mind is not stayed upon him. It's just that simple. There's no, you know, little loopholes there. It's just that simple. Now, I will tell you this. Keeping your mind stayed on him in the middle of the storm isn't always that easy. That's really that's some of the hardest part. But it's because that thing is in your face. And it's constantly reminding you. Maybe it's through pain or people or whatever else it is. But if you're going to survive, you've got to have peace. You've got to have your mind stayed on him. Not just visit him. Stayed upon him. That means that's a focused effort that you have to do. And he says here, and this is what's so amazing. He didn't say it was this hard thing or all these, do this, then this, then this. And if you do that and you line all this stuff up, then you can ask and maybe God will give it. He didn't say that. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you keep your mind on me, if you abide in me, if you stay in me, if you keep your mind on me, and my words are constantly in you, and you keep them going around in you, and you're meditating upon them. And when I say meditate, I'm not talking about the Eastern sitting cross-legged and chanting. I'm talking about what the Bible says is meditation, which is literally muttering to yourself the Word of God. You take the Word of God, you say it to yourself, it's like you're chewing it. And you think about it. And the amazing thing is, it's really hard for you to say stuff and think something different. So if you're speaking the Word of God, your mind is stayed upon Him. There's been times in my life that I'm telling you, man, that you know, all that wanted to come out of my mouth was, it's not working. And I actually had to bite my lips. I mean, just keep them shut. Because I knew if I just barely opened my mouth, it was going to blurt out. It ain't working. And I knew that wasn't the way to go. So I just kept my mouth shut and just kept quoting the Word over and over in my mind. And so you have to begin to meditate the Word of God and get it in you and make it part of you. And He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's really pretty simple stuff. That's not that hard. He said, you do that and you can ask whatever you will and it'll be done. Isn't that simple? But yet we make it harder. Well, it's got to be this. Well, you know, it's got to be according to his will. Well, guess what? If his words are abiding in you, you'll be asking according to his will. Quit second guessing yourself. Trust God. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." The fact that you want to do what's right, that in itself, that's God working in you. Don't second guess it. Well, you know, I want to go lay hands on the sick, but, you know, that's probably just me. No, it probably isn't. Right? That's God at work in you, getting you to want to and giving you the how to. And we second guess ourselves. You have to realize you're one with Him. His life is flowing into you. And so you just learn to dwell there and to abide there and let His words live in you. You know, and honestly, it'll change your life, because what will start happening is you'll quit hanging around with people that just talk garbage all the time. You just quit hanging around them. Why? Because you don't want to hear it. You know, you'd rather talk with Him. You'd rather say His word and hear His word instead of hearing all the junk and the gossip and the different things. Most people, you can hang around them 10 minutes, but that's stretching it. You know, honestly, most of the time it's 5 minutes. Yeah. And once you, as soon as that, you know, that 5 minutes is up, forget it. You might as well walk away, because now they've gone from talking about God or talking about His word, and they've switched over into gossip and the latest news and the worst horror story, or you won't believe what happened to me today. And you want to look at them and say, well, if I won't believe it, just don't tell me. I'm not going to believe it anyway, so just keep it to yourself. Right? You just start, and you just want to hang around kind of with yourself, or find people that speak the Word of God and talk about the Word of God, and you live there. And then when you do that, your mind is stayed upon Him, and then He abides in you, and you abide in Him, and His words abide in you. And all of a sudden, now it's not even like asking and receiving. You just, you'll think things. Well, that'd be cool. I'd like to do that. And then it comes to pass. Or, well, that'd be kind of cool. It'd really help if I had this. You don't even think of it. It's just in passing. You make that thought. And then God hears it and says, make that happen for him. Why? God, he hadn't even asked. Well, before they call, I will answer. He said, but God, he didn't even ask for it yet. Yeah, but his mind stayed upon me, and he abides in me, and his words are abiding in him. So just give it to him. See, that's how your Heavenly Father wants to operate. He didn't want to operate with you by rules. He can do that if that's how you want him to operate. But that's not how he wants to do. He wants to operate as a father. He wants to surprise you with good stuff. You know, it says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Think about that. And yet all we ever think is, well, we got to pull it down. No. He's a good father. He wants to give it. He's trying to give it more than you're trying to get it. Sometimes you're trying so hard to get it, you get in the way, and he can't give it. So you just learn to relax in these things and know he's going to take care of you. Whatever the outcome is going to be, guess what? You're going to end up on top. Whatever's going on. Why? Because he's for you. And if he's for you, who cares what man does? Who cares what the economy does? I don't base what I do on the economy. You know, we don't even go by the economy of this earth. We go by the economy of heaven. And there's no recession, no depression in heaven. Amen? You just find out what God wants done and head that direction. And he'll pay for it as you go along, as long as you trust him and exalt him in it. It's just that simple. Oh, and by the way, there will be no offering taken up, so I'm not leading up to an offering. So just so you know, right? We that's one of our principles, is we don't take up, receive offerings during healing services. Why? Because that's been so abused. I can tell you right now, you can't pay for what God's going to do here tonight. Jesus has already paid for it. He's already paid the price, and everything he's going to do here tonight, he's paid for. So it's done. So just, you can relax, right? I'm not trying to sneak up on you to get an offering from you. Amen? I'm here to tell you, it's already paid for. Your healing's already been paid for. He's already decreed it. He's already said every good thing about you he can, including that by his stripes you're healed. So it's just a matter of getting to it, right? And so I'm just going to share a couple more scriptures here. He just says here, herein, and notice this, let me back up. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein, you getting what you ask for, herein is my Father glorified. You hear that? God gets glorified whenever you ask and receive from him. I've had so many people say, I just didn't want to ask God. You know, I mean, my problem isn't that big a deal. I mean, I know a lot of people with some pretty big problems, and I thought it was kind of selfish of me to, you know, want this fixed whenever they're dealing with something much worse. And that's a lie of the enemy. God doesn't even think that way. He wants you free, totally, completely. Right? And it's not selfish for you to want that. He's provided it. It is self-righteousness for you not to receive it. So just decide. It's already been given. It's already been released. It's already been decreed. He doesn't have to do anything in heaven. You don't have to push any buttons, pull any levers, turn up the power, release the power. None of that. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. That's as true a statement as whenever he said in the very beginning, light be. And light was. Well, guess what? By his stripes, you were healed. What does that mean? You're healed. It's just that simple. He said, then how come I don't feel good yet? Well, he's already gave the healing. Now all we got to do is separate you from that thing. You just got to tell that thing to go. It can't stay there. It has to go. It can't stay. Listen, it's not even an option. If you came here tonight going, well, I hope I get free. Well, I hope it works. Just wipe that out of your mind. It's not even that. It's not even a matter of you hoping anything. It's a fact. Your healing is a fact. Jesus went to the cross. He went to the whipping post. That's a fact. And by those stripes, you were healed. That's a fact. Then he said that if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. That's a fact. And that's between me and him or any believer. That has nothing to do with what you believe, what you don't believe, or anything. It has nothing to do with it. Jesus he honors his promises to me and to every believer, regardless of who the sick person is or what they believe. I can't tell you the number of times when I've shaken people's hands, told them who I was, and said, my name's Craig Blake, and I can't explain this, but I'll tell you this. I pray for people and lay hands on them, and God heals them. Can I pray for you? And I've had people say, no. And honestly, I've responded back, too late. What do you think this is? Right? I'm laying hands right now, right? So you done got it. Before you even started talking, I started releasing. So it's just a matter. Now, if you don't like it, I don't guess you have to keep it. You know, I'm sure you'd be much more satisfied with 7 more devils if that's what you want to do. But you can be free because I'm giving you life. And it's just that way. I don't even consider what your problem is or where it came from. And I'll be honest with you. The team that's here with me, we trained them. They believe the same way. So they're not looking for your agreement or anything else. They're just, you know, the sad part is they really want to lay hands on you. And yet many people come here thinking, oh, no, thanks. I'm waiting for the guy. I'm like, you just don't get it. They have the same spirit. They have the use of the same name. It's the same thing. See? And so, and honestly, the only difference between me and them, maybe, probably the only thing, is simply experience. You know, I've been doing it for a few more years. That's it. And how do they get experience? Doing it. So give them a chance. Let them get the experience. Right? They know the right stuff. They believe the right stuff. It works for them just like it does me. God is no respecter of persons. He's not looking at who's laying on of hands. All he says is, do they believe? Yeah, check that box, or as you say, tick that box. There you go. It's that simple. So tonight we're going to do that. Now, he says here, as my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. He says, listen, my Father loves me, I love you. Just stay in my love. How do you stay? They could ask him, Jesus, how do we stay in your love? Oh, that's easy. Keep my commandments. What are your commandments? Oh, easy. Love God, love your neighbor, love one another. There you go. That's all you got to do. That's abiding in him. You just learn to love people. And it's, honestly, it gets easier to love people when you realize you can love people by faith. Because some people, kind of hard to love. So you learn by faith. I love you by faith. And I'll tell you too, some people are easier to love at a distance. Seems like the further you get away from them, the more you can love them. Don't say amen, don't raise your hand, but you know it's true. Just saying. Don't want you to get an elbow in the rib or anything there. So he says these things. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Think about that. He said, I'm telling you these things so your joy can be full. So you don't have to be sad and depressed and worried and have fear. He said, man, that's what the Gentiles do. Don't do that. That's what people that don't have a God, that's how they act. Don't do that. Show the world you have a God. When everybody else is afraid of the economy, show the world you have a Heavenly Father. Don't be afraid of this stuff. Tell people, guess what? South Africa hadn't seen its best days yet. It's coming. Why? Because I'm here now. And wherever I put my foot, it's blessed. And then you just start putting your feet all over Africa, everywhere you go. Amen? And you start to you have to realize you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That's you. That's who you are. You need to realize South Africa is blessed to have you. Because you don't belong here. You're of the kingdom of heaven. That's where you belong. But you're here. So because you're here, you're an ambassador for Christ. Have you ever seen an ambassador's house? Right. You understand what I'm saying? Ambassadors don't live like the people in the country they go to. Ambassadors live like the people live in the country they're from. You go to an ambassador's house, you look at an embassy, you look at that where that ambassador lives. It's not bad. Why? Because the country they're from wants to say, here's how we take care of our people. And that's what God is saying. He said, you're here. You're going to bless this place. This place is going to get better because you're here. And you need to start saying that and believing that. You're not just normal people. You were never meant to be. You have a divine purpose here. And that purpose is to represent the kingdom of heaven. And to do that, that means you got to keep a, you know, well, if you know what's yours, if you know what is in this New Testament, you're going to have a smile on your face. It's not doom and gloom. It's good. Amen? Jesus died to provide it and then came back to make sure you got it the way he said it. That's pretty good. That's what you have. So you ought to have a good smile on your face and know, you know what? Man, my best days, I haven't seen them yet. It's just going to get better. Why? Because the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the end. Isn't that right? To that perfect day. That's who you are. You notice all I'm doing is quoting scripture. Why? Because it's true. And you have to take it from here. And it's already in here. See, what you read in here, it's already in there. Because Jesus is there. And Jesus is this made flesh. Right? So this is him, and this is, he's in you. So this is in you, so it's already there. And all you've got to do now is get it from here to here. And you do that by just quoting it and then acting on it. And you start to act like it's true. And the more you do, the more it comes true, and the more blessed you are, and it just functions that way. This is the way it works. Jesus said that the kingdom was the smallest seed, and yet it grew. Once it's planted, it grew into the largest tree that could hold all the fowls of the air. Think about that. Wherever you are right now, you're not finished. You may be complete inside, but you're not complete outside. You still got some growing to do, and as you grow, it's going to grow larger, and God's going to bless you, and these things are going to happen, and you're going to start believing in that. And once you do that, you're going to start seeing the hand of God work, because how you see him is how he treats you. And you know, you just have to start seeing that. You know? Yeah. We can go further on that, but we don't need to. Those of you who are going to get it, you got it. We could spend here all night, and those that ain't going to get it, ain't going to get it, even if I spend all night. So we might as well just go on. So he says it. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Isn't that amazing? So what does he tell you right there? He says, greater love has no man than a man that lays down his life for his friends. Okay, who's his friends? Oh, you're my friends if you keep my commandments. So what's he saying? If you keep my commandments, I have laid my life down for you. Isn't that simple? And if you don't keep his commands, he hadn't laid his life down for you. Now you can take that and just dwell on it a bit and realize, are you in him or not? How do you know if you're in him? You keep his commandments. What's his commandment? That you love God and love your neighbor. I'm going to keep going back and forth. It's not do this, do this, do this, do this. It's just love. You love God and you love your neighbor. And if you love God, you won't have any other gods before him. You won't make any other idols. If you love your neighbor, you won't covet their goods. You won't bear false witness against them. You say, isn't that the Ten Commandments? Yeah, I'm showing you that if you walk in love, you can fulfill the Ten Commandments by not breaking them. It's that simple. It's love. And God gives you his Spirit. The Bible says that we have that the love of God, let me get the words right. He said that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God has allowed the Holy Spirit to bring his love and put it in us, in our hearts. So you can love. Right? You choose whether to or not to. But you can love. And once you realize the benefits of it, it's amazing. See, if you don't, here's the thing. If you love, you won't constantly be judging. If you don't love, you're going to be judging. So if you don't love, you're going to judge. And if you judge, you're going to be judged with what measure you judge. But if you love, then you won't be judged with that measure because you're not judging. And so now, if you love, you're going to be treated the same way because you're sowing love and you're going to be loved back, both by God and by man. It's just the way it works. You know, most people look at religion and they look at Christianity and they see, and it's so hard because they have all these rules and stuff, and they have this works this way and then this works this way, and I don't understand how this works because is it over here? Is it over there? I mean, that's not how I live. You know, people say, well, you know, we have to make sure that we live and make sure we're constantly forgiven. Well, the easiest way to do that is live right and don't do wrong. If you live right and don't do wrong, you don't have to worry about being forgiven all the time. Now, if you do mess up, you got an advocate with the Father. And yeah, just if I did something to offend you, I would come to you and say, oh, man, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't really mean to do it, or maybe I did. And if I did, I'm a jerk. I'm sorry about that, too. You know, but either way, I'm sorry. What if I would do that with you? Why wouldn't I do that with God? Father, I'm sorry. I messed up. You know it. I know it. And I'm sorry. And with your help, it won't happen again. And then you walk on. You don't spend the next 2 weeks, you know, beating yourself, trying to pay it off somehow. You get up and you go on. And you just run to God. You know, one of the things that the people I was talking to yesterday at the restaurant, we were talking about them, and I said, here's what happens. Because the person said, you know, there's temptations, there's things that go on. I said, look, it's simple. If you mess up, And this person had brothers, sisters, that kind of thing. I said, look, it's real simple. If you mess up, you remember when you were a kid and if you did something wrong and when your parents got home, you had to get to them before your brother did? And if you got there first with the story first, they believed your story? So, because they always believe the first story they hear. Right? And I told him, I said, it's the same thing with God. If you mess up, just get to God before the devil does and tell God your side. So that by the time the devil gets there, God's already heard your side and you're standing behind him. And he said, no, no, don't even waste your time. I've already heard the story. It's already over with, so get back out. I said, just treat the devil the same way. Just get to God faster. Amen? See, that was the secret of David. David messed up more than most in the Bible. But what did he do? As soon as he fell down, he jumped back up and ran right to God. He might have been quick to sin, but he was quick to repent. Right? He messed up, but he ran to God quickly. That's the secret. Now, it's better not to mess up. But if you do, get to God quick. Don't take 3 weeks to drag yourself there and try to prove God how sorry you are by how you act. No. Prove you believe his word. Get to him quick. And then go out and minister to somebody. And prove you believe that he forgave you. It's that simple. It's a good life. It's an easy life. Why? Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's that simple. It's just a good way to live. Amen? Now we don't get all bogged down with the stuff. So, he says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command. Henceforth, from now on, now get this, I call you not servants. Isn't that funny? We still say that. But he says, from now on, I'm not even calling you a servant. For the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. So you're a friend because you know. He said, you're, listen, we are sons who serve. But we're not servants because servants is a different class of being. Right? We are sons who serve. So we serve, but we're not servants because servants is a different class of being. So we're in the family. So we serve. So now, I want to show you one more thing. I want to read something to you here. And then we're going to move quickly. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to go there next. And I'm going to try to hurry because I don't want to keep you too late. I'm going to get to ministering to you and get you free. Now, oh, here we go, yeah. Well, let me find the right place. There. Okay. This is actually part of a sermon that John Lake preached here in South Africa. It was dated in 1908. Technically, I believe, though, it was probably around 1910 that it was actually preached. And I don't know why it had a different date on it. It could be that he made the notes or something and then later preached it. But here's what he says. Listen carefully. This is called a trumpet call. And this was preached just before an ordination service. I believe you'll hear some of the things that we've been saying this last couple of days. He says the 13th chapter of Acts tells us the story of the ordination and sending forth of the Apostle Paul. His ordination to the apostleship. Paul never writes of himself as an apostle until after the 13th chapter of Acts. He's been an evangelist and a teacher for 13 years by the time the 13th of Acts was written, and the ordination took place that is recorded there. Men who have a real call are not afraid of apprenticeships. They don't mind serving an apprenticeship because they know God's going to be faithful. There is a growing up in experience in the ministry. When Paul started out in the ministry, he was definitely called of God and was assured of God through Ananias that it would not be an easy service, but a terrific one. For God said to Ananias, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now right there he tells us, God told, now you got to get this. Paul is lying blinded, and he's staying at the house of Judas, and God starts talking to Ananias, and he tells Ananias, "I want you to go pray for Saul. I want you to go to him because Saul is praying." Notice Saul is praying. And he's already got saved. He got saved on the road to Damascus. So now he's praying. And he says, "Now, Ananias, I want you to go to Saul." And notice what he says. "For I've already..." And here's what he tells him. He says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And the amazing thing is, he says, "He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Notice the only time he stood before kings was whenever he was in trouble and under arrest. And yet God said, "Saul, you're going to stand before kings." And I'm sure Saul said, "Wonderful." And God is saying, "No, Pa, it's not going to be that kind of standing before kings. It's going to be an arraignment, right? You're going to stand there in chains." But that isn't what he told him at first. But the amazing thing is, while Paul is praying, God is talking to Ananias. And he's telling Ananias, "You got to go pray for Paul." The whole time, God has already told Saul at this point what he's got to do. And now he's already talking to somebody. That's something to remember. If God's dealing with you about doing something, he's already dealing with the person you're supposed to go talk to. So you need to go talk to him. If God's telling you to go talk to somebody, go talk to him, because he's already preparing them to receive you. God isn't going to send you to them cold. He's going to prepare them so when you come, they'll be receptive, or they will honestly manifest which direction they're going to take. But it's your job to talk. So he tells him. He says, "That is what Jesus Christ, the crucified and glorified Son of God, told Ananias to say to the Apostle Paul. He was not going to live in a holy ecstasy and wear a beautiful halo and have a heavenly time and ride in a limousine. He was going to have a drastic time, a desperate struggle, a terrific experience. And no man in biblical history ever had more dreadful things to endure than the Apostle Paul." He gives a list of his letter to the Corinthians of the things he had endured. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 5 times. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness." That pretty much covers everywhere. "In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness." He says, "They stripped him of his clothing, and the executioner lashed him with an awful scourge until bleeding and lacerated and broken, he fell helpless and unconscious and insensible. Then they doused him with a bucket of salt water to keep the maggots from growing in his back. And they threw him into a cell to recover." That was the price of apostleship. That was the price of the call of God and his service. But God said, "He shall bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." He qualified as God's messenger. Now listen, again, remember, this is a message that John Lake preached between 1908 and 1910. "Beloved, we have lost the character of consecration here manifested. God is trying to restore it in our day. He has not been able to make much progress with the average preacher on that line. The preacher says, 'Mrs. So-and-so said such and such, and I'm just not going to take it.'" He said, "That's the kind of preacher with another kind of call. Not the heaven call, not the God call, not the death call if necessary. That is not the kind of call the Apostle Paul had." He said, "Beloved, do you want to know why God poured out his spirit in South Africa like he did nowhere else in the world?" He said, "There was a reason. this example will illustrate. We had 125 men out on the field at one time. We were a very young institution. We were not known in the world. South Africa is 7,000 miles from any European country. It's 10,000 miles by way of England to the United States. Our finances got so low under the awful assault we were compelled to endure that there was a time I could not even mail to these workers at the end of the month a $10 bill. It got so that I could not even send them $2. The situation was desperate. What was I to do? Under these circumstances, I did not want to take the responsibility of leaving them, leaving men and women and their families on the frontier without their knowing what the conditions were. Some of us at headquarters sold our clothes, sold certain pieces of furniture out of the house, sold anything we could sell to bring those 125 workers off the field for a conference. One night, in the progress of the conference, I was invited by a committee to leave the room for a minute or two. The conference wanted to have a word by themselves. So I stepped out to a restaurant for a cup of coffee and came back. When I came in, I found they had rearranged the chairs into an oval with a little table at one end, and on the table was the bread and the wine. Old Father Van der Waal, speaking for the company of men, said, "Brother Lake, during your absence, we have come to a conclusion. We have made our decision. We want you to serve the Lord's Supper. We are going back to our fields. We're going back if we have to walk back. We're going back if we have to starve. We are going back if our wives die. We're going back if our children die. We're going back if we die ourselves. We have but one request. If we die, we want you to come and bury us." The next year, I buried 12 men and women. 16 wives and children. 12 men, 16 wives and children. In my judgment, not one of the 12, if they had just had a few things that a white man needs to eat, that they would have lived. Friends, when you want to find out why the power of God came down from heaven in South Africa like it never came down before since the times of the apostles, there's your answer. Jesus Christ put the spirit of martyrdom in the ministry. He was our example. Jesus instituted his ministry with a pledge unto death. When he was with the disciples on the last night, he took the cup, and when he drank, saying, "Beloved," the saying was the significant thing, the saying of what he said. It was Jesus Christ's pledge to the 12 who stood with him. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Then he said, "Drink ye all of it." Friends, those who were there and drank to that pledge of Jesus Christ entered into the same covenant and purpose that he did. That is what every pledge means. Men have pledged themselves in the cup from time immemorial. Generals have pledged their armies unto death. It has been a custom in the race. Jesus Christ sanctified it to the church forever, bless God. My blood in the New Testament. Drink ye all of it. He said, "Let us become one. Let us become one in our purpose to die for the world. Your blood and mine together. My blood in the New Testament. It is my demand from you. It is your high privilege." Dear friends, there is not a single authentic history that can tell us whether any one of the 12 died a natural death. We know that at least 9 of them were martyrs. Possibly all of them. Peter died on a cross. James was beheaded. For Thomas, they didn't even wait to make a cross. They nailed him to an olive tree. John was sentenced to be executed at Ephesus by putting him in a cauldron of boiling oil. God delivered him, and his executioners refused to repeat the operation. So he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. John thought so little about it that he never even tells about the event. He said, I was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That was explanation enough. He had committed himself to Jesus Christ for life or death. Friends, the group of missionaries that followed me went out, and they went without food, and they went without clothes. And once when one of my preachers was sunstruck and had wandered off, I tracked him by the blood marks from his feet. Another time I was hunting for one of our missionaries, a young Englishman, 22 years of age. He had come from a line of Church of England preachers that had been Church of England preachers for 500 years. When I arrived at the native village, the old native chief said, he's not here. He went over the mountains and he said, and you know, mister, he's a white man and he's not yet learned to walk barefooted. That's the kind of consecration that established Pentecost in South Africa. That's the reason that we have 100,000 native Christians in South Africa. That's the reason we have 1,250 native preachers. That's the reason we have 350 white churches in South Africa. That's the reason that today we are the most rapid growing church in South Africa. I'm not persuading you, dear friends, by holding out a hope that the way is going to be easy. You remember he was talking to people that were about to be ordained. I'm calling you in the name of Jesus Christ, you dear ones who expect to be ordained to the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, take the route that Jesus took, the route that apostles took, the route that the early church took, the victory route, whether by life or death. Historians declare that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. Beloved, that is what the difficulty is in our day. We have so little seed. If I were pledging men and women to the gospel of the Son of God, as I am endeavoring to do tonight, it would not be to have a nice church and harmonious surroundings and a sweet do-nothing time. I would invite them to be ready to die. That was the spirit of early Methodism. John Wesley established a heroic call. He demanded every preacher be ready to pray, ready to preach, ready to die. That is always the spirit of real Christianity. When any other spirit comes into the church, it's not the spirit of Christianity. It is a foreign spirit. It is a sissified substitute. He said, I lived on cornmeal mush many a period with my family, and we didn't growl about it. And I preached to thousands of people, not just colored people, he said, but white people. When my missionaries were on the field existing on cornmeal mush, I couldn't eat pie. My heart was joined to them. That's the reason. Now listen carefully. You have to remember this is early on. And he says this statement, and it's sad because it didn't say. But he tells why. He says, my heart was joined to them. He said, that is the reason we never had splits in our work in South Africa. Our country, where Pentecost, he said, our country was one country where Pentecost never split. The split business began to develop years afterward when pumpkin pie eating Pentecostal missionaries began infesting the country. Men who are ready to die for the Son of God do not split. They do not holler the first time they get a stomach ache. And then he tells about this man named Bud Robinson. And he said Bud Robinson tells a story of himself. He went to preach in the southern mountains. It was the first time in his life that no one invited him to go home and eat with them. So he slept on the floor, and the next night and the next night. After 5 days and five nights had passed and his stomach began to growl for food just terribly, every once in a while he would stop and say, lay down, you brute. And he went on with his sermon. He said, that is what won. That is what will win every time. That is what we need today. We need men who are willing to get off the highway. When I started to preach the gospel, I walked 20 miles on Sunday morning to my service and walked home 20 miles on Sunday morning back to my, and walked home the other 20 miles back when, that night when I got through. Why? He said, I did it for years, but I did it for souls and I did it for Jesus. In early Methodism, an old local preacher would start Saturday and walk all night, and then walk all night Sunday night, to get back to his work. It was a common custom. Peter Cartwright preached for $60 a year and baptized 10,000 converts. Friends, we talk about consecration, and we preach about consecration. But that is the kind of consecration that my heart is asking for tonight. That is the kind of consecration that will get answers from heaven. That's the kind that God will honor. That's the consecration to which I would pledge Pentecost. I would strip Pentecost of its frills and of all the, he calls it a falderals. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, calls us tonight not to an earthly mansion and to a $10,000 motor car, but to put our lives, body and soul and spirit, on the altar of sacrifice and the altar of service. He said, all hail, you who are ready to die for Christ and this glorious Pentecostal gospel, we salute you. You are brothers with us and with your Lord. And then he began to ordain the people. I read that to you for one reason. I wanted you to hear in his own words why he said Pentecost affected Africa the way it did. And as he said, that kind of consecration will always win. It'll always affect a nation it's in. That's what you've been hearing all this week. I don't know why God was doing that. I had completely other ways I wanted to go. But for whatever reason, God wanted this spoken. And all I can say is, I know this. When I finish here tonight, I will have delivered the word of the Lord as he gave it to me. And I've done it faithfully and as completely as he could pour through me. That's what I've done. What you do with it is going to be up to you. But we've already decided what we're going to do. And we expect to see the results of it here in Africa. Now I've got one more thing and then we'll begin to minister. It's going to be a simple thing. If you have your Bibles, I think I've already told you, go to Acts 10. Did I already tell you that? I did, didn't I? Not? Okay. Go to Acts 10. We've been talking today about the baptism of the Spirit. And so I'm going to give you this one example. And this is really the first time that the Gentiles receive the Spirit as the children of Israel, the Jews, did at that point. So he begins in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. You hear that? Your prayers and your alms. God takes note of it. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what you ought to do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, when they went on their journey, and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, call not thou common. This was done three times. and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words from you. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And he talked with him, and he went in, found many that were come together, and he said unto them, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he understood the purpose of the vision. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, and as soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you've sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner. You notice he's just going, it's amazing that they included all these details again. And he said, and no one notice this, who when he comes shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, and you have well done that you've come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth once again, as he often opened his mouth, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Okay? Now, here's one thing before I read on. What amazes me about this? Now, do you get the picture? Cornelius, a Gentile, is praying. And he's doing good things. He's praying, he's fasting, he's giving alms. And an angel shows up and says, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. He's seen how generous you are and how you're giving alms. You're doing, and that's good. Now, here's what you do. You send people to find Peter. And even tells him his address. Tells him how to find him. Now, what is amazing is, the angel is right there. What did he send Peter for? He sent Peter so that Peter could preach the gospel. So that Cornelius and his whole house could get saved. The angel was there. Why didn't the angel just say, Cornelius, here's how you get saved. Jesus died, rose again. Why didn't he just do that? But instead, 4 days later, Peter shows up. The angel just tells Cornelius, send people after him. Go get Peter. He'll come back. He'll tell you what you need to know how to get saved. And yet he was right there. Why didn't he tell him? You know why? Because angels have not been assigned the glorious duty of being able to preach the gospel. That benefit, that privilege has been given to men. And so what did he do? He said, go find a man who knows the truth. And he said, I'll tell you where you can find one. And he sent for him, and that man comes back and tells him how to get saved. Isn't that amazing that he didn't just tell him right there himself? He says, but in every nation, he said, I perceive God's not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To give to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While, now here's the part, this is why I read this. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, notice, he wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost. He wasn't talking about the day of Pentecost. But here is, he's preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. And they, of the circumcision which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed they him to tarry certain days, and then he stayed there a while. But now, the only reason I say this is because I want you to realize you don't have to have hands laid on you. That's a standard way, is to have hands laid on you to receive the Holy Ghost. But here we see as a time when, as he preached the gospel, as I've done these last 3 days, that the Holy Ghost fell upon them and they began speaking in other tongues. And that was a good sign that they had received it just as they did on the day of Pentecost. And I'm telling you that even here tonight, the Holy Ghost has already fallen. He's here. He's here in believers, and he's here wanting to be in believers, even to a fullness that they can receive the power of that baptism that can work the works of Christ. So tonight, really, what we're going to do is we're going to minister healing, as we do, because you preach the gospel, then you minister healing. You can do it before, you can minister healing before or after, either way. Tonight I preach them. And now we're going to minister healing. And at the same time, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of you are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. Why? Because you're going to receive him. You've already decided, yes, this is what we need. Well, that's the main decision. Once you know that you're born of God, then you want to receive the baptism. There you go. That's all you have to do. And really, all as a child of God, all you have to do is ask him for it, and he gives it. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not the words. It's not a formula. And if you want to say other words that have basically the same meaning, that's wonderful. But I'm just going to lead you in a quick prayer. Just one whereby you can receive the Holy Spirit the way he wants to. You know, I've ministered this way in every kind of church denomination. I mean every kind. And even in churches where they do not believe in the baptism of the Spirit, and they don't believe in speaking in other tongues. And I've ministered there, and I didn't say, you're going to get baptized in the Spirit and you're going to speak in tongues. You know what I tell them? How many of you want everything God's got for you? Hands go up, and I said, all right, Father, you heard it. Just repeat this after me. And then I could take them through that. And as soon as I did, they'd bust out in tongues. And then the leaders of the church would look at me real mean. And I would say, I didn't do it. Take it up with him. Right? So, tonight, if you need healing, or if you need either or, maybe and or, the baptism in the Spirit, you can receive everything that God has for you. He doesn't want you to go without. He wants you to have everything Jesus died to provide. So we're going to do that tonight. So here's what I'm going to do. If you agree with the words I'm about to say, as you hear me say them, and you want to receive the baptism of the Spirit, and you want to receive healing, then as you hear the words and you agree with them, then just, if you can, just raise a hand. You don't have to raise both. You can raise one. If you want healing and baptism, maybe both hands. I don't care. It'll work either way. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and you just decide if you agree. And if you agree, then that's the prayer of agreement. And whatever we agree together on, it will be. Amen? I mean, I don't know who's sitting next to you. I don't know what they can agree, but I know I can agree. And if you can agree, and I can agree, and we can agree together, it's done. So let's do that. Amen? Yes. Heavenly Father, you've heard the words I've spoken here today, and I firmly believe that you have spoken them through me. I believe that I have spoken faithfully what you have given me to speak. So, Father, now, we have preached the gospel. And so now we thank you for the proof of the gospel, for demonstration of the Spirit, not just in words, but in demonstration of the Spirit. So, Father, we thank you right now. And, Father, we say right now, we know and believe that it is your will that we be healed because your Son paid for it. So we agree together right now that according to the word of God yourself, that you have said by his stripes they were healed. And so we agree. And so right now we say that's for us. And so we receive right now healing from every sickness, every disease, every ailment, everything that is not in us by the Spirit of God. We reject and we receive healing for it. And we thank you for it right now because your word is true and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we thank you for it right now. And we receive it. And we say, you said in your word that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And Father, we understand what that means is that what you offer for us, we grab hold of it and we hold on so that even the devil himself can't take it away from us. So we receive that healing now. We take it as you give it and we hold it. And we say, it's ours. And Father, we know that you said that the Holy Spirit was given so that we might be witnesses and have power to be those witnesses. And we know that you give us the Spirit. And you said, if we ask, you'll give it. And if we ask for bread, you won't give us a stone. And so, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you right now. We know that it's for us. We know that you have provided it not just for the people in the Bible, but to as many as you yourself have called. So, Father, we thank you right now. You said ask, we're asking. Fill us to overflowing. Baptize us with your mighty Holy Ghost. Fill us, and Father, just continue filling. So, Father, we bless you, and we receive all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus. So be it. Amen. Amen. Now here's what we're going to do. We've got our team. And as I said, we've trained them so they know what to do. They know what to believe and they know how to believe. So we're going to have our team. We're going to have them come down to the front here. And actually on the side too. If we can, break them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, something like that. Going down front, all the way down. Quick. Now, what we're going to do, because of the, we have to adjust. Remember what I said, the message is sacred, but the methods are not. So we have to adapt the methods based on the layout of the facility. And so tonight, it would be very hard to actually get everybody lined up and go through and all that kind of stuff. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing here that we've done many times before. And we've done it here in Africa. Matter of fact, we did it at the Biker's Church recently when we were there. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask all of you that right now, if you can, kind of maybe, I don't know how we'll do this exactly because you're kind of scattered out there. But what we'll do is we want everybody to grab hands. Just grab hands, get where you can if you can. You may have to stretch a little bit, right? Now you guys, well, you guys are going to stay right there because I'm going to, just like we did in Biker's Church, we're going to walk up. Now, okay, now you don't actually have to grab hands across the aisle, just in your section. Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because here's what we're going to do. What we did in the Biker Church, what we've done in other places, we're going to do it the same way. I have our DBI graduates here, and there's going to be one on each side. And so as I walk down to the middle, they're going to grab hands with you, and I'm going to grab their hands. And as we go through, we're just going to grab your hands, and the life of God is going to go from him, through me, through them, into you. Amen? Now, one of the good things about this is everybody gets involved, so there's no guy thing. You know, there's no to be the guy, right? It's just branches connected to the vine. That's all we're trying to do. Amen? And so that's what we want to do. So right now, just decide, and when we come down and we grab hands, and they grab your hands, then I don't care if you're in the middle, where it doesn't matter. It's just like electricity flows all the way through. Amen? And just decide, whenever that happens, when we do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get healed. The Holy Spirit's going to fill you brand new. If you've never received the baptism of the Spirit, you're going to be baptized in the Spirit if you want to. You know, we're not going to force it on you, but if you want it, he will be glad to fill you to overflowing and baptize you. And if you have received the baptism of the Spirit before, maybe you spoke in tongues before, but you don't anymore, whatever. All of that doesn't matter. Tonight's a new day. The Bible talks about it for times of refreshing, that the baptism of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, were for the times of refreshing. That's what this is, for you to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go right up this way, grab hands, and then I'll go around the back, and then, actually, you know what? No, I'll come back here because you're all done here. And I'll come back down here and do that. All right? All right. So, at least we know what's going on. Father, we thank you. As a matter of fact, before we do this, just stay in prayer. Stay in worship and just expect when we touch for you to get what you came for. Amen? That's the key. And so, he flows automatically to expectant vessels. So, Father, we thank you. Just begin to pray. Begin, if you speak in tongues, go ahead and speak in tongues. That's fine. And just begin to worship him. And thank him ahead of time for what's coming, because he's already paid for it. So, Father, we thank you right now, in Jesus' name, right now, in the name of Jesus. Life, be healed now, in Jesus' name. Be filled now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to the next one. Grab the next one. There you go. In Jesus' name. Let's just keep kind of steadily moving here. In Jesus' name, be healed now. Right now, be healed and free. Be healed and filled. Healed and filled. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. In Jesus' name. Right now. Life. 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 Now, as we go, if you've already been touched, then just begin to do what you couldn't do before. Check it out. The pain's gone. The breathing is free. Check for it. If you had tumors you could feel, check it. You watch. In Jesus' name. It's his life. It's his spirit. In the name of Jesus, he quickens you by his spirit that dwells in you. And we're just releasing that spirit in the name of Jesus right now. Right now, be healed, be filled, be blessed, head to toe. In Jesus' name, right now, just life, life in Jesus' name. Be healed now, right now, healed, completely restored, made whole in Jesus' name. Right now, we break those words spoken against you and spoken over you, those death sentences. They weren't trying to lie, but they just didn't know. And we have inside information right now that says you're healed, that says you're free, that says that the enemy cannot take your life. Jesus holds the keys. So we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Right now, completely healed and whole in Jesus' name. Free. Free in Jesus' name. Right there. There we go. Amen. Amen. All right. Now we're going to go back down to the front and come back around. All right. Begin to do what you couldn't do before. If you couldn't move your arm or if you couldn't move a leg, begin to move it. Begin to breathe deep. If you couldn't breathe deep before, breathe deep now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Be healed and whole. Head to toe. In the name of Jesus, so be it. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and move. There we go. In Jesus' name. Life. Life. In the name of Jesus. We set you free. Healed. Whole. By his stripes you were healed. By that name. And faith in that name. It makes you strong. It makes you healed. It makes you whole. There we go. Go ahead and go back. In the name of Jesus. Whoop. There we go. In Jesus' name. We speak life, and it'll be this way and no other. Life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Your words outweigh the words of man. We thank you that faith comes by hearing your words, and we know that doubt comes by hearing the words of the devil. So we thank you, Father, for faith. We thank you for faith right now to release life to be so that they can be healed and made whole and blessed in Jesus' name right now. And it'll be this way and no other. Complete healing, total healing, not partial, total, complete, head to toe, every symptom, every problem in Jesus' name. What he does, he can do all the way through. Jesus is not a partial Savior. He's not a partial healer. He heals completely, totally, and completely. According to Scripture, he healed them all. And every time he did, it was so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that he said he took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. That it's a done deal. It's paid for in Jesus' name. So we just release life. The life of the vine right now, going through the branches, healing, delivering, setting free in Jesus' name. Right now, continue to do what you couldn't do before. If you couldn't stand, stand. If you couldn't walk, walk. If you couldn't hardly breathe, begin to breathe freely in Jesus' name. We command deaf spirits, go in Jesus' name. You loose them now in Jesus' name. It'll be this way and no other. Eyes, we command you to see perfectly. Head to toe. Blood diseases, we command you right now. You go now and never return. Blood, be purified. Be purified. And skin, right now, we command you to be cleansed and made whole. In the name of Jesus, right now. Right now, by His Spirit, we set you free. By His Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your work. We thank you for what you've done. And Father, we just thank you right now that you're an organized God. You don't have to be chaotic. You don't have to do things strangely. You can be organized. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be healed. Be made whole by the blood of Jesus, by those stripes. Healed and whole. Through His name, we set you free. In Jesus' name, right now. Father, we just praise you. Now begin to praise Him. Just begin to worship. Here we go. Just begin to worship Him. We don't have to have music. Right? Just begin to worship Him. Thank Him for it. Begin to worship Him. There you go. That's it. Father, we just thank you. Your word is true. There we go. There we go. And right now, just begin. Now, those of you that have not received the baptism in the Spirit as you would think that you had, then just begin thanking Him and worshiping Him, and then just after you do it a minute or so, just stop and open your mouth and let Him come out. It's just that simple. Those of you that speak in other tongues, begin to speak in other tongues. You say, but Brother Curry, that's not scriptural. It says that we're not all supposed to do it at the same time. No, it says we're not supposed to give a message in tongues at the same time, but we can all speak in tongues at the same time because we're communing directly with God and He can hear all of us. And He is communing with us. So just begin. If you speak in other tongues, begin to speak in other tongues right now. As a matter of fact, you watch. Even those around you will begin to speak in tongues that have never done it before. So in Jesus' name, right now, we release the Spirit of God right now in Jesus' name. Just as you've asked, my brother, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost right now in fullness, and we release Him through you in Jesus' name right now by the power of the Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost in fullness. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's it. You watch. In the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you. We worship you. Father, we thank you for what you've done here tonight. We thank you, Father, even the things we haven't seen yet, but we will begin to see. So we begin to thank you even now. Let's begin. Begin to worship Him. We worship you. You're good. You're God. You're our God. You're our Father. Begin to worship Him. Begin to thank Him. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Your word is true. All that you've said is true. And we believe your word. You said, by His stripes we're healed. We believe. You said that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We believe it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we worship you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Right now, we worship you. You are God of heaven and earth. There is none other like you. There is none other like you. You are God of heaven and earth, and you're our Father. And Father, we thank you for your Son, We thank you for Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice, for his blood that was poured out. And we do this just as the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. And we thank you, Father, that we can be made whole. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your mighty Holy Ghost that dwells in us and with us and guides us and leads us into all truth. We thank you for that. We bless you for that. Lord, we thank you for this mighty gift. We receive your gifts. And we know that every gift you give is good. And we thank you for it. And we want to walk in fullness of it. Father, we say even now, again, as we said before, do it again, Lord. Move across Africa again. Move across Africa again. Move in righteousness and in holiness. Move forward. Drive forward the kingdom of God. Advance the kingdom through us, Lord. We give you ourselves to advance your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, that your kingdom is a kingdom of light, and it drives back the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness cannot stand, and even the gates of hell itself cannot stand against the church that Jesus Christ has birthed. And we are that church. We are that ecclesia. We are your body. And we say in Jesus' name, you told us that what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Father, we thank you that we bind the work of the enemy. We bind the advancement of false religion. We bind it, and we say in Jesus' name, it stops and goes no further. That in the name of Jesus, it begins to retreat. That the advancement of the kingdom by your Spirit will be such that righteousness will reign supreme over Africa. Father, we thank you that Africa will not only be saved, but it will be filled and it will be baptized in your Holy Ghost. And that once again, Lord, the signs and wonders that we've heard about, that we've talked about, that we've read about, that they will again be seen through the hands of your children, the hands of everyday Christians, believers. Father, we thank you that we are sons of yourself, that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. And we thank you, Father, that you did not sow a son into the earth to reap servants. You sowed a son and you reap sons. And Father, we thank you that now are we the sons of God. Now. And Father, we thank you. And we want to fathom, we want to understand the love that you have bestowed upon us, that we can be called sons of God. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you that your love drives out fear. Cast it out and drives it forth, that we do not fear. But we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So Father, we praise you and we worship you for this spirit of power and love. Father, we thank you that our minds are clear, that they have clarity, that we are concise in our thoughts about advancing your kingdom. Father, we thank you that you are advancing us in your kingdom to accomplish your will on this earth, because your will be done. Your will be done. Father, we thank you. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if there are those of you that want further ministry, we're going to dismiss everybody that needs to go home, needs to go. But if you need further ministry, you want further ministry, we will be ministering, our team and all, will be ministering in the room right across the hall there. They will direct you to it, but we will be glad to further minister to you. So, you're welcome to go there, or you are welcome to be dismissed. Now, don't forget, and I've been meaning to say this all day. I've had a little note there to tell you, and I know Anthony told you earlier, tomorrow, every Sunday at 5 o'clock, we have a Dominion Life Church here on this property here in this church building. And it is the Dominion Life Church, part of the JGLM family of churches that we have here in Johannesburg. We're planting others. We're planting others all over the world. But we have life teams here in Johannesburg. We have them in Cape Town and just all over. We have them all along the coast also. And we're planting new ones. But we will also have church tomorrow here at 5 o'clock. I'll be ministering tomorrow at 5 o'clock. You're more than welcome to come back. We'd love to see you again. Matter of fact, I would love to see you because I want to hear the testimonies of what God did tonight. We might just have, might not be much preaching, might just have a good testimony service. Amen? That'd be good. So if you want to come back tomorrow, we'd love to have you here. Now, after tomorrow, Monday, we're leaving for Cape Town. We'll be down there for a week. We come back the next Monday and leave right away back to the United States. But we have church here every Sunday at 5 p.m. And so if you don't have a home church, we would like for you to consider coming here and fellowshipping with us. Now listen, we don't expect this to be a typical church. With the purpose of a JGLM type church or a Dominion Life church is for one purpose only. To learn the gospel so you can take the gospel. And you learn it so that you can grow up, so that you can go out. And so the whole point is that we are to take the gospel to our city and change our city, change our nation. So if you want to be a part of that, then please come. If you need ministry, you can come. And so come in, let us know what you want to do. We want to help you. We want to advance you. We want to launch people into ministry. We want to train and equip. So if that's part of your needs, then feel free to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. and we will be glad to minister to you. As I said, I won't be here after this except when I come back. But we plan on coming back and being here a lot. Amen? So let's join together and do this thing. All right? Now, if you want to know more about it, you can go to our website. You can plug in, get information from it. But let's be the army of the Lord. Amen? Let's be His movement. Let's be His feet. Let's be His hands. Let's be His eyes. Let's be His mouth. Let's be His body. Amen? Amen. So, I want to thank you for coming this week. I appreciate it. I appreciate your ability to be here and to listen. I don't know if you were surprised about what came out. I was. So, you know, I'm not going to apologize for it. I know I did what I was supposed to do. But it was different than what I planned. All right? But we want to thank you for coming. And you've been a blessing to us. We hope we've been a blessing to you. So if you need more ministry, step across the hall. We'll be glad to minister to you there. Other than that, you're dismissed. God bless you.